I don't know how you could make a theme song with lyrics that would not be like comical under the circumstance. Yeah. He was fat and she's from Africa.
Yeah, you really can't.
Like, I don't know how you make that work.
Green light.
And now that's going to be stuck in my head. I'm going to be humming that tomorrow. Luckily, I don't have to go anywhere.
I feel like that Trey Parker and Matt Stone wrote that.
Welcome back, everyone, to S1E1, a show where each week we pick a different sitcom, watch just the first televised episode, and forgetting anything we might know about the future run of that show, rate it and decide if it's a show we want to greenlight or cancel. This week we're going to be talking about Bob Hart's Abishola. Bob Hart's Abishola went 84 episodes with 5 seasons on CBS. Here we're talking about episode 1, which was called Pilot, originally airing September 23rd, 2019. But to get things started, I'm Jay Gags. With me, as always, the boys, Joe, Ferg, Nick, and Gordo. What's going on, guys?
Hey, yo.
Yo.
3 years.
Happy anniversary, everybody.
Guys, yeah. I got all of you compression socks for the anniversary occasion. We're all here.
I would take those.
I would actually take those.
I would benefit from those.
Actually, my wife needed a pair of them this week, and she said that they were very hard to put on, but they seem to work.
I'm wearing a compression sock right now.
Are you? I've never worn one before.
Coming fresh off ankle injuries, I have like the, not the sock, but the compression like sleeve you put over, like half your foot in your ankle.
I had to use a compression sleeve on my elbow for a little bit. It's weird how well it works.
I use them when I fly. Very good.
You can fly?
Yes. That's how I can fly.
The simplicity of that joke was stunningly good.
But real quick, I guess, to get into just the anniversary side of things. Every time we have like a Hallmark or anniversary episode or a big one, it was like, oh, I can't believe it. But like, I don't know. It is crazy. Like 3 years. Like, it doesn't feel like 3 years.
It does not. No.
Like the weirdest part of it. But it's just, it's wild. We bring the show up so much. So it just makes sense to make it the anniversary episode.
And it's in the final season. So that's kind of like poignant, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And just as far as like, I don't know, the 3 years.
And this is our final episode.
Yeah.
Wait, to be fair, going out on Abishola is a good call.
Well, you know, I was like thinking about it earlier today, and like I remember when we did episode 100 and we did like the fan vote between Seinfeld and The Office, and then when Seinfeld won, we were kind of like, well, when do we do The Office? We're like, maybe 200. And like, even in my head, I was like, I mean if we do 200 of these, and now that we're like almost at 160, it doesn't feel like we wouldn't hit 200, but like at 100, it felt like sure, if we get there. But like, I don't know, deep down, I wasn't really that sure if we would get that far.
Well, that's the thing. For a podcast whose subject matter is nearly infinite, right? There's no end. So you can't set a benchmark, right? You can't be like, oh, we'll do it at 250 because that's good. You know, if we're only doing 500 episodes.
But then what's 500? What's 1,000?
Changing 500.
Like, I mean, a couple months ago, we did How I Met Your Mother, and like, that was like 150, and like, you kind of want to, it's tough, because you want to spread out big episodes, because you don't want to do them all and then run out, and then we have nothing like of substance to do later on. But then also like, not knowing like, you know, are we doing this for another few years, for another 10 years? It's like, you know, when do you want to, there's certain episodes you definitely want to make sure we do.
I mean, there's infinite big shows, too. We haven't done Jeffersons, All in the Family.
Oh, there's a million. There's so many big shows. But, like, for the anniversaries, we've never treated as an opportunity to do gigantic Hallmark shows. Like, usually there's some sort of an inside joke attached to whatever we're doing here. And
what are you talking about? Episode 1, we did Friends.
The first, anniversary 0, I guess, yeah.
Our one-day anniversary.
As far as this goes, Bob Hart Abishola, we've joked around a lot about it, but I really hadn't sat and watched the full episode until now. I don't know about you guys.
I've actually seen this episode.
Me too. I watched it the first day it came out, and it wasn't on purpose.
Any of it, yeah.
Ferg, you've mentioned that before, that you accidentally watched it. What did you think it was?
No, I was watching something else, and it came on, and it was like, what is this?
You're like, Molly looks different.
I was just going to say, it's like, they did some casting in Mike and Molly on season 3 that really confused me.
To get into it, IMDb had the show in at a 7.0, and Rotten Tomatoes only has an audience score, which was 61%.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So it's kind of a middle-of-the-pack show. This is a show my mom definitely really likes.
Oh, mine too. Much.
It's definitely a mom show.
This is for sure a mom show, yeah.
But it's also a Gordo show because it starts with a fart.
Yeah, I was like, oh, god damn it.
They got Gordo in the literal first 30 seconds.
I wasn't going to say anything. I'll say it now and jinx it because he'll do it just to spite me. But I was like, he does that fart gag, Gordo greenlit this show. Doesn't matter what happens for the other 18 and a half minutes. Also,
he just shut it off after
that. Dear Bob Hart's Abishola, everybody, 19-minute episode. Oh, I love you.
I was so curious about that. Like, the idea of this 19-minute episode. Why was it so short?
Advertising goes up every day.
It's great in the streaming era, but if you're watching this live, that means you're watching a third of the episode is fucking commercials. That is annoying.
Well, okay, so as much as I hate bringing up wrestling, Monday Night Raw is a three-hour program. 2 hours of it is almost 2 hours of it is fully commercials.
Yeah, they do too many commercials. Also, that show should just be 2 hours anyway. We know that.
Yeah.
But the idea of, like, I mean, I thought the standard sitcom was still 22 minutes on network television.
Per our show, I would say that bears out to be correct still. Most shows we do are 22. Yeah.
I'd be curious to see how long the second episode was.
No, I have a question. When did this debut?
2019.
What?
On CBS.
What month?
September.
Okay, never mind. I thought this was like right
it's
after the Super Bowl.
It's not a mid-season replacement.
No, I thought February for some
the
reason.
Time either.
February is a shorter month by days. It's not the hours aren't shorter.
Except for this one. Goddamn deep year.
No, but what happens if CBS had the Super Bowl and they were like, and after the Super Bowl,
you think
here
this
is...
was the lead-in to the Super Bowl?
No, after. Like... This is the hook. Bob Hart Abishola.
And after Super Bowl 42, stay tuned to watch Bob Hart's Abishola.
You can see that happening.
To be fair, they did that with The Office 1 year, and it was amazing, because it was the episode of The Office where Dwight lights the office on fire.
Now, is the show actually called Bob Hart's Abishola? Yes. I know we've always said it like that, but I thought we were joking, and it was called, like, Bob Loves Abishola.
No. It's stylized...
I know that it's a heart. I know that it's a heart. I've seen the logo.
But if you read it on anything official, it's written as hearts. H-E-A-R-T-S.
Yeah, I
want to
hear like the voiceover from the, you know, and tonight at 9, tune into the new Bob Hart's Abishola. Like, is that how they say it? Or is it Bob Loves?
Yeah.
Okay.
Strange.
Well, how are you going to, it's not going to be Bob Emoticon Abishola.
It would be Bob Loves Abishola.
Yeah, Loves is where we're going with that one.
But does Abishola really love Bob?
Bob Emojis Abishola.
Gordo's brain's broken because he just works at that weird cart in the mall that only sells emoji pillows. I'm just like, well, I don't know how this is a business that thrives, but sure.
He keeps having to buy the poop pillows.
There's some poor person in the factory is like, we can't sew poop pillows fast enough. I don't know what's happening.
And real quick before we get into the episode, I want to remind everyone to go to s1e1pod.com. That's where we have all the links to listen, but more importantly, all our social medias are linked through there. S1E1 pod on Instagram and X, formerly Twitter. We really like engaging with all you guys. So, I mean, the more you guys hit us up, we know how you found us, which helps us. Also, the shows you want us to cover. So we've gotten a lot of great fan picks over the last few years. So keep that up. Hit us up. We like talking to you guys. We just kind of want to know who's listening. So always fun when we hear from you guys.
And also thank you, because it's been 3 years and we appreciate it.
Yeah, we wouldn't be doing this if people weren't listening.
Yeah, there's a good chunk of you guys out there who are always interacting and stuff. It's really cool. We really enjoy it. I know we say we enjoy it, but I mean, we could be lying, and I want you to know that we're not.
Yeah, it's legit. And I'll say again, I guess, just to do a little bit more reflective stuff because it's the 3-year anniversary, but like I was thinking about like the early days, and like Gordo, to aid what you said, like we wouldn't be doing if people weren't listening. I mean, those first few episodes, like I remember episode 1 came out. And, like, I think we got a lot of courtesy clicks from friends and family to just see what it was like. So, like, our downloads were, like, pretty decent for, like, episode 1, all things considered. And then you saw that heavy drop by the next one. Like, people like, okay, that's fine. I don't care anymore. And then.
Yeah.
And then to see, like the natural growth over the last few years. And, you know, we joke about it, but, like, you know, we're all from Massachusetts originally. Joe now lives in Canada. But, like, But like four of us still live in Massachusetts, and like there are months where Massachusetts doesn't even rank like within the top 10 states. They're even close. Yeah. So it's like, it's weird because in a way it's like, wow, no one supports us that we know. But then on the other hand, it's also like,
we still do okay even without that.
Like, it's legit. Like, everyone who's listening to us legitimately enjoy it.
They're not nepotism watches.
Yeah, and those, like, those first episodes, I mean, if you guys remember, I still don't do it, but, like, if I ever have to listen back on an episode, I'll listen to an MP3 because I don't like to, because our downloads were so low that I didn't want my download to count towards anything, like, in the early episodes, because I wanted to track everything. Now it really wouldn't matter. Like, one download means nothing, but I'm in the rhythm now. But back then, it was like, there were days where the goal was, like, I just want to make sure we don't have zero today. And, like, you know. So now it's
we haven't had to worry about that in a long time now.
Yeah. No, not even
when we first started. I mean, like, I guess we could peel the curtain back a little bit, right? That like we were doing stuff like, how do I say it? Like our now released numbers are like what we were doing like in a month.
Yeah. Oh, not even. I mean, like, yeah, I don't like to get too, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to get too deep into numbers. Nobody wants that.
Now what we do in a week is like exceeds like our first few months combined. Like it was, you know. So so thank you again to everyone who's listening. You know, I don't want to make it too much about us, but again, just kind of being reflective as we're plugging our social media. Again, go to s1e1pod.com, s1e1pod on the socials. Yeah, again, to cycle back to the actual show we're doing, Bob Hart's Abishola. So other than Gordo and Ferg both watching this episode in the past, nothing, right? Like no. We just, no curiosity, it just doesn't pop up.
I never even saw it like in passing on a screen somewhere. Yeah. Like this is my first ever with it.
And I'll say for people who want to watch along, it's a little tricky because I think it's on multiple streamers that you can buy the episodes on Prime, but then like if you go on Paramount Plus, it only had season 5, which is like currently running. And then I went on Hulu and it only had season 4 and 5 on it. Like where do you start this from scratch if you want to watch it?
That's strange. It's weird when they do that.
Licensing stuff's odd. So, I mean, for those of you who want to watch along, I mean, I'm sure it's somewhere. but it's, like, on a lot of different things in pieces, apparently.
Well, it does sound like there's going to be a mega streamer soon, and I'm sure most things will just end up there.
Oh, are you talking about Mt. Cock?
Yeah, Mt. Cock will probably have... Mt. Cocklu will probably have everything on it.
Is Hulu part of that now? Is that a potential?
No, they own by Disney.
I was going to say, I know Paramount Plus and Peacock were talking about a merger.
No, it's going to be funny because we're ahead right now if this all happened already.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen in like the 3 weeks we're ahead right now.
But yeah, I mean, I guess we might as well get into the actual episode itself. Show starts in a hospital and we know it's in Detroit, Michigan. It says they have these kind of things. The intro does it and then all throughout the episode. I really like the 3D words that are like injected into like exterior shots that look like they're naturally there.
You do or you don't like it?
I do like that.
Oh yeah, I thought it was pretty cool too.
I like it too. I like that even like a little bit later that day.
What it reminded me of was, and you don't see it anymore, was, and I think we talked about it when we did Home Improvement, all the little graphics they did in between scenes and stuff like that. You never see that anymore. And this was like the closest I've seen to it.
Yeah, little scene breaks. I like the scene breaks for sure, yeah.
Yeah, what was the last one that did it? Like,
yeah, I remember talking about it recently, and I can't remember what.
Did the other Tim Mellon show do it, or did it just cut to his video blogs? I can't remember.
The Days in Mellon?
What?
The Days in Mellon?
What did you say?
You said the other Tim Allen show. Are you okay? Do you need a... Do you,
every
do you
need one to take, of the, I think you're having a stroke.
Do we have
everybody
to take you to a hospital
said
in Detroit right now?
He just wants to fart on a gurney. That's the only reason he wants this to happen.
Why is gurney the funnier word?
I will say, I will laugh at a gurney joke any day.
In this case, we see the character of Bob, and he's being like wheeled in to a hospital. He's having chest pains. His family's all around him as they're going in, and he's having a heart attack. The mother's like, no, like, it's just gas. It's like, it's not gas, Mom. I'm having a heart attack. Now, the mother, so I'll say this. Billy Gardell is the one who plays Bob, and you would know him from Mike and Molly. We covered Mike and Molly in the past. And his mom, Christine Ebersole, like, I didn't look up the actual age difference, but she doesn't look old enough to be his mom at all.
No.
No, she's like the mom in Richie Rich. She's in Amadeus. She's in a bunch of stuff.
She does have a lot of age on him. I guess he just looks older because he looks
a
lot older.
It's his mustache, in all honesty, like, because I don't know the time frame between Mike and Molly and Bob Hart Abishola.
I think only a couple of years.
Yeah, but like that couple of years, like he aged a little bit, and then that mustache, not for nothing, does not look good on him. He just doesn't have a mustache face.
It ages him for sure.
Yeah.
Well, did anybody else feel like this, though, Jay, to your point? When they're in this scene and you're talking to, he's got his mother there and there's two people next to him. I'm like, oh, those are his children. That's his son and his daughter. And then it's like, shut up, my stupid siblings. And you're like, there's no fucking way. I was so thrown off. I had my notes I have, and I had to like, oh, wait, sister? Question mark?
Not his wife and kids, his mom and siblings. It was
yeah.
Like, yeah.
So there is, she's 71, he's 54.
Oh, I mean.
So it's a young, it would be a young
mom. I mean,
mom,
17, that's not
like,
out of the realm.
Well, I guess it's really, it's the meeting somewhere in the middle, right? Like, she's looking good for her age, and he's looking a little old for his.
Well, he is having a heart attack, Jay. Give the guy a break.
I mean, yeah, quote unquote having a heart attack.
What if she had a mustache? Would she look old enough?
Possibly.
How? Okay, so I think I brought this up when we did Mike and Molly. How do you guys feel about him? Billy Gardell, because I think
he's great.
He's just like inherently funny.
Yeah,
right? He doesn't
I
have
him.
To try to make me laugh.
He has
I don't
a
know
very
if it's just
casual
me.
Delivery, and the way he like just it always feels very. And I'll be honest. I've seen now one episode of Bob Hart's Abishola and one episode of Mike and Molly, but in my limited experiences, he has this very casual delivery that feels very natural. And I think that flows in both shows for sure.
He reminds me of a like comic from a different era. Like he'd be from like the John Belushi era, and like I could see him in like Blues Brothers or something like that.
Yeah, that's. I feel like I get hints of, and it's not just the fat thing. The Kevin James, I feel like, is in there a little bit.
It's a fat thing.
It's just a fat thing.
The next point, though, I mean, the first point too, though, I also can see him being like a Henny Youngman character too, like.
Oh, old Henny Youngman.
Well, your class, like, take my wife, please. Like, that type of joke, right? Like, that type of comedian.
And also, while we're going over some of these characters, too, like, his brother and sister, both, like, sitcom veterans at this point. His sister, Christina, played by Meredith Monroe, who you would know from Workaholics, and the brother, Douglas, who's Matt Jones, who you know as, he was a shrewd. He was the cousin. He was also in Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Was he Skinny Pete or something?
He was one of the meth heads.
Yeah. He was one of
like friends. Like
Jesse's
friends.
I know we've talked about it before. I'm sad we didn't get the farm. I'm glad we got Silicon Valley, but
yeah.
I love the Dwight extended family.
I think they needed to give it time.
I don't get why that episode is so hated. I really liked it.
Me too. We say the Wild Oats thing all the time.
I think if they had like taken a season off and then Dwight returns to television, I think people would have been all about it. But I think by like that end of The Office, people were already like falling off of it and just kind of ready for it to end at that point. So
I think people were mad. Again, I am a defender of season 9 of The Office, but the first half of that season is very different than the back half.
I remember Joe once said his favorite character on The Office was the boom mic holder.
He did. He loves Brian.
Again, he's great in Silicon Valley.
He's good in Silicon Valley. Yeah.
Trace Comas.
Doors go like this.
This guy fucks.
This guy fucks is the best sentence ever.
So anyways, we flash to later on, and now Bob is waking up from his, like, drug-induced, like, not coma, but, you know, it's wearing off. He sees Abishola in the room with him, and that's his nurse, and she's just kind of, like, you know, doing all the regular nurse stuff, like, you know, checking vitals, doing all the shit. He opens his eyes and sees her, and he's like, pretty. And she's like, what? He's like, oh, you look like an angel. And they're starting to have some, you know, just kind of like banter. He's just trying to figure out what happened. She says that they put some stents in, 3 of them. And he's like, is that a lot? She's like, for a man your size? No.
I will say this, though. I'm sure we all know people who have stents in. And I'm sure we're all going to have stents in. It's one of those things they just figured out where it's like, the American diet and the way we all live, eventually you will need to clear up some arteries. It's just sadly like how we've all lived for so long.
And nowadays too, like stents and bypass surgeries are such like a Well, he had a full-on heart attack, but in general, a lot of these surgeries are like, they don't even, like, you don't even sleep overnight anymore. They kick you right out.
They really have to do a lot of work to keep you in a hospital overnight now. They do not want you to stay.
No.
Abishola, she's of Nigerian descent. Is that correct?
See, I thought she was Kenyan.
No, nope, she flat out says, like, Nigerian, I believe, in the episode.
Yeah.
She does.
She wasn't
episode,
Kenyan at all.
Nigerian.
No, Nigerian. No.
Can you fit these nuts in your mouth?
That was the fucking thing you were going for.
I regret that we had a recent episode where we laughed at your jokes, because now you think you're on a roll, and now you're forcing them.
No, what are you talking about? This would have been the perfect time.
Yeah, right. If she was Kenyan, yes, then you would have had an excuse to do it. But she wasn't Kenyan, so you just shoehorned it in terribly.
Even after it was like, oh, she's not Kenyan, and we're like, no. He's like, too late. I already thought of the joke. But Gordo, help me out real quick. I'm drawing a blank. Can you remember the actress who plays Abishola? What's her name?
Oh. Abishola.
Jay, do you want to take a crack at it?
No, I don't. I really don't. I read it and I went, oh boy.
For the good of the podcast.
And the bad of any job employment for prospects you're going to have for the next 30 years.
Gordo, do you need me to send
it
to you?
I'm going to say it's Folake Oluwufoiku.
And he's not, I don't think he's far off. I also think it's Folake. Folake Oluwufoiku. Oluwufoiku.
Yeah, Oluwufoiku.
I'm looking for one of those, like, how it's pronounced things, but it's not listed on.
Oh, she's
got to
be on, like Letterman's not a thing anymore, but, you know, who's the Letterman?
Shows and stuff, yeah.
That's, by the way, this has happened, like, over the last few years. That's Gordo's metric. Like, any late night host will never mispronounce a name. So when in doubt, check what Seth Meyers said.
Yeah, like, if Jimmy Kimmel said it can't be wrong.
Letterman. What did Letterman call her?
How many Steve Allen shows was she on in the 60s?
So Bob's laying in the bed and he has to take a piss and he's like, do I just go? She's like, no. And she's like, let me help you up. And, you know, he's getting up and they kind of have almost like a little moment, like, inadvertently here, because he's like,
this is a meet cute.
She's trying to help him, you know, walk, and he's like, it's okay, I got it. She's like, you've got nothing, lean on me. So just like, you know, it gives them that little bit of a...
lean on me?
It has like that kind of double meaning in that point.
It does, but this is also like the weird thing where like people think that like their barista is always hitting on them. It's like, she's so nice to me every day. It's like, that's also her job. You know what I mean? Like, she's just not being a shithead. She's being a good person. I don't think this is flirty from her.
I would have went with strippers. When people think strippers like them.
The Hooters waitress, I think, is a classic.
I mean, I think all of those fit, yeah. I think they also all show our personality types, since that's where we all went.
While they're walking to the bathroom, Bob asks Abishola, like, to show her socks to him. And she's like, what? He's like, that's my business. Like, let me see. Like, she, like, reluctantly shows her sock to him. And he's like, oh, the Naravanis RD75. Like, that's a shame.
I did look this up, by the way, and I was not able. I thought they would maybe use like a real sock number, but I was not able to find one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's even like socks that have. I mean, I'm sure there are like product code and stuff like that, but as far as the model numbers, like does that really exist in the sock world? Like,
I mean, underwear does.
I'm sure it has to. Yeah,
I know socks by like, you know, crew, ankle, knee high, like.
I've done a lot of backstock and shipping and receiving at retail stores when I was younger, and American Apparel especially, every article of clothing had like a number and a letter and all this. I don't remember what the socks were, but.
So she's asking what's wrong with the socks, and he's talking about how they're made cheap in Vietnam, and like one wash and they get all like droopy in the top band, and I'll say he's going on talking about how it's like they use a synthetic latex, and he starts name dropping his sock company because that was the whole purpose of the conversation, that he owns a sock company. But when he's talking, just again, that delivery, I'm under the belief that this guy knows something about socks. Like,
yeah, he's a sock expert. It's specific though, because it is specific to only compression socks. Like, when you look up the synopsis of this show, it's like, Bob owns a highly successful, very competitive compression sock medical supply company. That's a very specific sentence.
Yeah, you're not going there for your, like, your standard, like, no-show socks that you wear right. with your sneakers.
Or, like, my fish socks.
Or Gordo's fish sure. socks. I usually go plain black or striped.
Oh, I have at least 30 different goofy printed socks.
That doesn't surprise me.
Like hedgehog, like a running hedgehog. This is hedgehog.
Hedgehog.
You wear them with your spoiler Crocs.
No, it's his croc nuts.
His croc nuts go with those.
There was a point, I think like a decade ago, I used to wear white socks. And I was like, nope, we're going to make the switch. But in order to do that, I had to throw out every sock I owned in the house. And then we started fresh with just black socks.
You know what's funny is I think about this occasionally. I remember being at Jay's house years ago, taking off my shoes, and your mother cursing me for wearing black socks. I was like, I didn't know this was such an offensive thing.
My mom, modern day, still doesn't like that I now wear black socks.
Why is that a thing for her?
She's under the belief, I don't know if it's true or not, but like, if you sweat or if they get wet, like the ink can seep into your foot.
That can't be true.
It's like, I've noticed that with a lot of clothing now. Like, if you buy a button-up shirt somewhere, if you buy like a button-up shirt, the tag always says like, wash this once in cold water because it will bleed otherwise. But I just wash everything before I wear it now, and I've never had socks turn my feet black or anything.
I don't always do it with t-shirts unless, like, you know, sometimes you get like a printed shirt in the mail and it just smells like fucking vinegar or something that, like, then you have to. But sometimes a shirt, maybe not on the first. So anyways, they get to the actual bathroom and she's like, all right, go ahead. I'll leave the door open. He's like, no, wait, hold on. I'm like, I'm pee shy. And she's like, well, what if you fall down? Who's going to pick you up? Not me. And then I'm thinking, well, then why does the door need to be open? Because you're not going to pick him up either way.
Right.
So he goes to start peeing. As he said, he's pee shy. He can't get it out. Do you guys have public pee problems?
No.
I drink so much liquid in the course of a day that it's like, I dare you to stop me from peeing.
I'm the same way. I drink a lot, like a lot of liquid in a day. And as you guys know, I don't know how many stories have been told on the show already, but I have zero issues peeing anywhere. So.
Yeah, you just walk up to the stall, drop your pants down to your ankles, and you just stop peeing.
Well, that's a different situation. That was, we've talked about that. That is a retired move of mine. But yeah, if I have to pee, then nothing's going to stop me. I don't care what's going on.
Do you get up in the middle of the night? I'm a once a night peer now.
Literally, no, the I'm day I turned old. 30, everything changed. Like,
sometimes.
I can make it through the night, yeah.
Yeah, I never wake up.
I've also upped my liquid intake recently. I'd say in like the past couple months, I've like really amped up my water intake. Just because I never really did. And I was like, this is going to wear on me if I keep going like this.
Yeah, we're getting older. You need that liquid, yeah.
Yeah. I still make it through the night, so... You know,
I used
wood.
To, I mean, you guys know, like, I chug water. Like, so my thing used to be right before I'd go to bed, I'd fill up a pint glass and just chug it and then go to bed. And now I can't do that because it was literally the last thing I do before I sleep. That had to get cut out of the routine.
It's funny. I'll find when we do record, it's the only night I don't do it because I'm always so, like, energetic from recording that, like, we'll go to bed. I'll be up till, like, 2 tonight. Every night we record, I'm up super late and I'll end up peeing, like, a bunch of times while I'm still awake. Aside from that, I have to pee at least. It's usually around 4 in the morning.
Depends. If the dog stirs and wakes me up, then I'll wake up naturally.
As Bob's dealing with his pee problems, Abishola just, she starts singing like a traditional Yoruba folk song.
All right, Jay, give us a few bars, Jay.
I want to, but Berg, I know you're really the best out of all of us when it comes to Yoruba folk songs. So, I mean, I really would prefer if you did it first.
I can't do it justice. You are the singer of the group.
So at the risk of being offensive, I really don't want to do it. So full disclosure, I mean, it's, listen, I don't know culturally if it's exactly the same, but it's not too far off from the Lion King, the beginning of the Lion King. I don't know.
I think somehow you may have just made that offensive.
You made it more offensive.
I don't know, man. I'm backing away from that claim.
That no, because that's like traditional, like it might not be the same part of Africa, but it is
The Circle of Life by no. Elton John.
Yes, Gordo, that traditional African folk song.
He does
Circle
Can
of
You
Life.
Feel the Love Tonight, not not Circle of Life.
I don't think Gordo's kidding. Do you not know the part of the like the opening song?
Yeah, the do 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 do.
From the day we arrived on the planet. Well, you get.
Okay, so anyways,
it's been a long time since I've seen Lion King.
Ferg, do the Lion King song.
It's the Circle of Life.
It was done by Elton John.
Jay's frustration with Gordo tonight is on a new level, and I'm here for it.
So anyways, the singing helps, and Bob starts to pee. And he's asking, like, oh, that's nice. What is it? He's like, oh, I used to sing this for my son before I put him to bed. It always worked. So I guess this is like the magic song that will either help you sleep or pee, depending on when it's needed.
I wish it had both effects on him. Like, you just say a thump.
And she's not picking him up. He's a heavier guy.
A wall of piss comes out of the bathroom.
You ever seen somebody on their back piss themselves? It's not fun.
I think I've seen Gordo too.
I mean, to be fair, it's probably true.
When he comes out of the bathroom, at first he's trying to make small talk, and I love that she just instantly yelled at him to go back in and wash his hands.
Good on you, Abishola.
I'll say, and I don't know why, but there are like a lot of people of like similar descent from her who have like those same nurse jobs for whatever reason. Like, but it's not uncommon. So like I see like why she was cast in that specific role, and because I've seen nurses that are like Nigerian and stuff too, like it felt so natural to like see her in this role.
Because they go to medical school there and then they come over here where the pay is better.
But a lot of that stuff doesn't transfer from like country to country, because I've seen a lot of that. Like I know people that like I've worked with in the past who are like doctors in their respective countries, and then for whatever reason, not everything, you can't just like move to America and like have the same degrees transfer depending on where you went to school.
I believe you have to not do all of medical school again, but you have to redo your
certification, right?
Your certification. What's the part of when you get out of med school, but you're not a doctor yet?
The board, residency?
Residency. You have to like residency and stuff again.
But you're still getting paid though. So, and it depends too. Like I know like a lot of physicians, like, I mean, that's just another word for a doctor, but I mean, like, family physicians, like PCP.
But a lot of them, like, leave the medical field, and they're like, oh, I was a doctor in my country, and now I work here with you at the airport. Huh? But
when I lived in Boston, the nurse at my primary care doctor was Nigerian. She was super sweet, very nice lady. But the one long exchange we ever had was I had to fly for the first time ever, and I was like, I called my doctor. I was like, I need, like, you to prescribe me pills or something. Because I'm flying and I'm like super nervous. And they're like, yeah, just come in. And like, they got their wires crossed. She like takes me into a room and she's like, take my blood pressure and does like all this stuff. I'm like, this seems aggressive. I just had a physical like a month ago. And she was like, writing down a notepad. She's like, so where are you going? And I was like, San Francisco. And she was like, she thought I was going to like,
she's giving you your shots. Yeah.
Yeah. Like another country. Yeah. So like, they were there ready to do intake and a bunch of pills. And then she like, started just yelling, like angry, like, oh, I'm so sorry, but I got the Xanax.
When Bob and her are walking, like, back towards his hospital bed, he's trying to, like, turn the charm on a little bit and, like, crack these, like, small jokes, but, like, she just, like, that combo of, like, that humor, like, is not processing with her, also her not finding him funny. Like, I really like the dynamic there.
Yeah, I love the joke when he's, when, it's what's your name? She goes, Abishola. He goes, oh, that's my mother's name.
Yeah.
She doesn't respond at all.
It's like in Coneheads. My mother went there.
He's asking her like what that name means too. And I guess it like, I don't know if it actually translates this way, but she says it means born to wealth. And he's like, oh, so you just work here for fun? It's not like, it's not one of those ironic things like when they call me Slim. And she's like, you are not Slim. Like, and again, she just doesn't get like that level.
She's
of
like robotically not sarcastic.
Well, I don't, I mean, Gordo, you spoke in the past. You said like, you know, where your wife's from, like there's like that humor level is like, they take things very literally. So like, I'm wondering if maybe there it's a similar situation where it's just, there's less, you know, it's a more literal area maybe.
I mean, it could be, it also could just be personality. Like my wife is notorious for, she will say it. She does not have a sense of humor. So this is like our interaction.
Yeah.
But I know she'll like, it's it's kind of cute, like, watching this, because it's almost kind of like watching us a little bit, because, like, I'll crack a joke and my wife will be like, no, no, doesn't work. And, you know, it's the same kind of dynamic here. I feel like she knows. She's just like, okay, you know, cool it, Mr. Slim.
And then when he gets to bed, she's like, should I call your family over? And he's like, oh, no, don't do that. Like, actually, tell them I died. And
that gets her, though. That makes her laugh. Your family's dead. Ah!
Well, she's like, oh, I understand what it's like to have, like, you know, family issues. It's like, oh, like, you know, like, what's going on with your family? It's like, that's none of your business. I really like that, too. She was very quick with them, which I did enjoy.
It's a bit of a forward question, too.
And, well, yeah, but, I mean, I guess the way it was presented, he said something about his family, and she was, like, relating to him, so I could see why he felt like he had an opening that he could ask.
This just feels so genuine. Like, this interaction between them.
I thought,
like,
so, too. It felt like a very real conversation.
I think, again, that's why he's so successful in these shows. He feels very every person,
yeah,
natural.
Yeah, it's like in Mike and Molly, when he was struggling with his weight in those meetings. It's like, you really, well, he is a fat person, but you really believed he was someone trying to get help and,
yes,
and was struggling with, like, the emotional pain of being overweight.
As we say that, I'll say, like, this scene ends with maybe the only thing that I thought was not natural dialogue, and because when he says, like, oh, you can call me Bob, and, like, the whole thing is he laughs because when she pronounces his name with her accent, it's more like Bob. And he's like, oh, and she's like, why are you laughing? And it's like, oh, well, I never really liked the sound of my name, but when you say it, it sounds kind of nice. And, like, wants her to say it again. He's like, yeah, it's way better than Bob. And I'm thinking, in fairness, your name is Robert. You could go Robert, Bobby, Robbie, Rob. Like, you have a million options out of your actual name. If you don't like Bob, no one has to call you Bob. You have one of those names with the most natural nicknames attached to it.
I will say this, though. This is another office scenario where Andy comes in and he's like, it's Drew now. And everyone's like, no, it's not. Like, you know, if he's like all of a sudden one day, like, I'm not Bob.
But if he never liked Bob, you know, you established that real young.
Sure, your mom and your parents or your siblings call you that, but.
And I feel like you naturally age into Bob. Like, no one's Bob when they're still in middle school.
No, they're Bobby. And then they turn to Bob.
You either keep it Bobby or you upgrade to Bob. But, like, no one seems to be Bob when they're a little kid.
I'll still never understand how Robert becomes Bob.
There's a lot of those.
There's a lot, yeah. It doesn't
make
sense.
And those don't make sense either. Like Richard and Dick.
Ironically, my dad and his brother are Richard and Bobby.
And your dad goes by Ricky.
Ricky for the most part, yeah.
Yeah, that's another Richard one, too. You can be Rick, Richard, Ricky.
He gets a lot of Rick, too, though. It's like
Dick.
Rick or Ricky.
Dicky.
He's just not calling your dad Dick.
I thought Jace called his dad Dick before. It just wasn't that
just not addressing him as that being his first name, yeah. And then, you know, as we're talking about, like, how it's like that, like, natural dialogue and stuff, I mean, I think this would be, you know, the appropriate time to mention. The show is created by Chuck Lorre, who has created a million shows, has written on so many more.
We've talked about him a ton of times. He wrote the soundtrack for the Ninja Turtles movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, he wrote the actual theme song to the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
But he created this show. He created The Big Bang Theory, 2 and a Half Men, Dharma and Greg, Grace Under Fire. I mean, literally a bunch more. Just to name a few of them. And then just additional writing credits. He wrote episodes for Roseanne and Charles in Charge and, like, just so, like, My Two Dads and somehow the Toxic Crusaders. But
I love the Toxic Crusaders.
So it's just, you know, Chuck Lorre has, like, such a historic imprint in television.
Now, how many shows I went to try and see how many shows we've covered.
Covered that he created or just
a lot. He's come up with
not even a fraction.
Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory and Grace Under Fire are the only ones I think that he created.
We didn't do Dharma and Greg, right?
Not yet.
No, but we did Roseanne.
You're thinking of Will and Grace.
Yeah.
Grace Under Fire.
Mm-hmm. He did Young Sheldon.
We did not do Young Sheldon.
We did not do Young Sheldon.
Wait, we did Dahmer and Greg.
No, we didn't. Guys, all right. I listed the two shows he created that
we already
covered.
You're thinking of Will and Grace.
I confuse those two all the time.
There's also Ned and Stacy.
No, what's the one where they kiss in the kitchen? He goes, more.
Mad About You.
Whoops.
Which we did do, if you want to go back and listen to Mad About You.
Not by Chuck Lorre, though.
3 years, everybody. We've covered a lot by now. So yeah, just to give that Chuck Lorre shout out right there, I thought was the appropriate time. And then we get into the intro of the show, which is just more like traditional music from Nigerian music with it's that same thing where I was saying how like the 3D words that are interjected and like into like real scenes. It's just that. It's just names kind of everywhere. And then we finally land on the names Bob and Abishola together.
And then a heart comes up.
It was fine. I thought, you know, for a show like this, I thought it was a pretty standard, easy intro, and it works.
Yeah, I don't know what I would expect from Bob Hart Abishola.
I don't know how you could make a theme song with lyrics that would not be, like, comical under the circumstance. Yeah. He was fat and she's from Africa.
Yeah, you really can't.
Like, I don't know how you make that work.
Green light.
And now that's going to be stuck in my head. I'm going to be humming that tomorrow. Luckily, I don't have to go anywhere.
I feel like Trey Parker and Matt Stone wrote that.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Bob Hart Abishola, if you're listening.
The show's over. It's too late. You can't sell them a new jingle.
Listen, they'll be retroactive when Mount Cock comes out. They could redo the theme song.
The licensing to the music that they already have, yeah, maybe there's an opportunity to change it. So after the intro, it's the next day, and Bob's family's wheeling him out of the hospital. And they're going down the hallways, and Bob's telling his family, you know, not one nurse in this hospital is wearing our socks. And he's kind of going over, like, all the different roles in the hospital, how nobody's wearing their stuff. His mom's like, oh, you're just like your father, always working, always looking for opportunities. And then, like, the sister's like, yeah, and daddy died when he was 58. And the brother's like, oh, so Bob gets to kick ass for 8 more years. It's like,
that line did genuinely make me laugh, though.
Really? I hated that line. I hated the delivery, and I hated the line.
The reason I laughed, though, is because I thought he was the shithead son at this point. So it made me laugh that I was like, oh, he's playing the, like, ingrate son who thinks he's going to take over the company from his dad. And that joke was funny to me. And then this is still at the time where I was under the assumption that these are his children, not his siblings.
I feel like that Bob gets to kick ass 8 more years.
Now it's he's offering that's Doug, and he's offering to set up a meeting and like, oh, we'll get what was her role? Sales and marketing. The sister is sales and marketing. And, you know, we'll get them together first thing in the morning. And she's like, oh, I can't. Like, I have therapy in the morning. And then he goes, tomorrow's not good. Sales and marketing has therapy. Bob's like, Christina, your marriage ended. You wanted a job. I gave you a job. Do the job. And it's like, well, I get sibling arguments, but, like, I have scheduled therapy. Like, I don't know if that's the moment to be upset with her. They maybe should have not used therapy and said, like, hey, I have some retail therapy tomorrow. Like, you know, you can't.
It could have been improved had he added a timeline. You got divorced 4 years ago or something like that. So it's still bothering her would be an issue.
It just didn't seem like the appropriate time to get worked up and yell at her.
But I do like the brother being like, that's a very HR thing to say, right? Like, we can't do it. She has therapy. That's an HR comment, you know?
Like when the mom says, don't yell at your sister, Bob. And he goes, I'm not yelling at my sister. I'm yelling at sales and marketing.
It's also why you don't work with your siblings or your family. You know?
I mean, I get it's a family business and like, but yeah, I personally who argue with my family all the time, regardless of whether or not, you know, like we love each other, but we are a yelly family in that regards. I'd like to blame the Italian in me. I could not work with my family all the time. Giuseppe.
Jay, you can't even ride in the car with your brother for 5 minutes without fighting. If you guys work together, you'd kill each other.
Yeah, I feel like we've all been friends so long. How many times have we seen just a full family yell at your house?
But that's how we show love in my house.
Yeah, I was going to say, though, but you've never ever been like, we haven't talked for a month or anything either. It's always very quick and over.
Not with my mom or brother.
You really love your brother. That's why he broke his nose. You love him so much.
That was under different circumstances. We're much younger.
You love That love. It's like Jack and Rose.
Yeah, Jay was drawing Chris naked earlier.
Don't like any of where this is going at all. moving right along. So as they're going, Bob asks them to stop for a second because they reach like that main desk area and he was trying to see Abishola. And I mean, they hadn't met her. And he's explaining, oh, you know, there was a nurse. He was just really nice to me. I was hoping to, you know, just say thank you. And the brother's like, oh, I've seen that movie, Sexy Nurse, Late at Night, Happy Ending, Fully Covered by Blue Cross. And he's like, that's why we need human resources.
I thought that was a great little exchange.
Yeah.
Again, his lines are really cringy, and then they fix it with the next line. It's like, they do a good job with that.
They acknowledge that it's cringy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've talked about in the past, too, like, you can have characters that say things that are bad as long as it's acknowledged that it's bad. That's the way around it.
Like what you guys do with me.
Yes, often.
So the dad obviously, like, passed away and gave the company to Bob. I wonder, did the other brother get skipped over? You think he'd leave it to both sons?
I like to think it's a Tommy Boy scenario, where like Bob wasn't good at the beginning either.
Maybe, like, technically they all kind of equally own it, and then he just has a more important role.
I mean, they all have to listen to him. He's one who's like, no, skip your therapy, your HR, I gave you a job, and
yeah.
All that.
Well, he's clearly, yeah. Like, the most responsible of the three, and he seems senior of them by, like, 10 years, so I get it.
I think there's more. I think that Bob Hart Abishola is like an onion that has many layers that have yet to be unpacked.
Okay. We get to the next scene and it's like a Chinese guy who owns like a warehouse and he's speaking in like Mandarin, right?
He's Malaysian. He's speaking
Malaysian.
Malay.
Is it?
Yeah. They say it's in Kuala Lumpur.
So he's talking to Bob over the phone. He's like the production guy who's like making all these socks and Bob is fluent and is speaking right back to him. And, you know, basically telling him like, hey, like, you know, we have an order in, like, why isn't it ready? Did you take a Nike order in front of ours again? Like, and you see like clear as day, like the Nike socks that he's putting in the box. And he's like, no, I didn't do a Nike order.
I thought that was a good touch.
I just like Bob's reading. No, sorry. Bob is speaking and what is it? Malay. Malay. And the only word you get is Weather Channel.
yeah, he stops. It's like the Worcester Boston.
I liked when Doug jumped in at the back end of the conversation. It's like, you know, like almost to say goodbye. And like, you're like, oh, he speaks it too? That's crazy.
Have a lucky day.
And then, yeah. And when he hangs up, Bob's like, seriously? Guy's screwing us? And you say, have a lucky day? And he goes, really? That's what I said? Like, so he was just basically mumbling. And, you know, when you do an impression, like, everyone did that as a kid, right? Where like you hear like whatever, if you're impersonating like any other language and then you go, was that something? Did I say something?
Like afraid you did something wrong.
Just to see if your interpretation of fake Japanese.
Or was something.
Did I say a real phrase by accident when you're just mumbling?
I like that he's fluent in the language though, because you see Bob and you think he's just like a dumb ox, like salesman, American guy. And shows he's a little smart.
You get in the beginning of the episode, like, how seriously he does take the business.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what I like about it, too, is because, like, it's not just, like, a business for him. Like, he's passionate about socks. And it's, like, I mean, it's a weird thing to be passionate about, of course. But, like, he did what he... You know what it made me think of? It's because it's a weird profession. It made me think of Modern Family. Because he owns a closet company.
Yeah.
Right, it's so specific and weird.
Yeah, it's just strange. But he's also like pretty passionate about that. I don't know. It was you always see, oh, I'm an architect. I'm a lawyer. I'm a teacher. Like, it's always the same shit. And the guy who owns a sock company is like pretty left field. And I like
it. But it's all necessary. Honestly, I mean, your dad used to have a garage door business. And you think like, that's so random, but then you think, but it's so necessary. And then when something like that done, and there's the guy in the area who specializes in that, and no one else in the area is, it's like you corner a whole market. Why be like one of 50 people doing something when you could be one of one people doing something like in the same area, you know?
Yeah, I always think about that weird stuff where you're like, if you're like, you know, opening up, especially now, like furniture is so like, you make it yourself, right? We're like, there's somebody who owns a company who just makes those Allen wrenches. All day long, a little machine shoots out a billion Allen wrenches that cost like a quarter of a penny a piece, and they just ship them off to everybody. Like, that's just the Allen wrench guy. Like, there needs to be a person who does all of that. It's very interesting that you can just be specific to one thing like that.
And then, like, after that phone call, the family's kind of, again, they're just, there's a lot of arguing going on. It's very intense. The whole family's in that room. And while all that's happening, you just see Bob, and he just kind of drifts off. And, like, all the volume of the arguing goes away, and he just hears Abishola singing in his head. And it, like, it calms him down. And actually, like, at first they're showing him just reacting to it, and I thought it was actually funnier when they flipped the camera, and you're still just hearing just the audio of her singing, but you just see the, in mute, like, the family just arguing and looking at him the whole time.
That's a fun little device.
It's kind of going to his happy place now.
I think it kind of showed, too, that that's new for him. Like, I think the smart thing of that writing is that, like, he's able to do this now, but clearly wasn't before he met her, because he is having a heart attack over stress. You know, I mean?
Yeah, fresh off a heart attack. It's kind of good that he has this thing that he can escape with, you know?
Yeah, his happy place.
We go to later on, and now we're back at the hospital, and Bob walks in with this bag of socks that he promised Abishola. And he walks up to the desk, and he's asking the girl sitting there if she's there, and she's saying, no, she's not here right now. She's like, today's her day off. And that was Will's mom on Fresh Prince. She played Vi. Yeah.
Yep.
She's been in a million things, by the way. If you go through
Vernie Watson Johnson, she's been in shows we've covered.
Yeah.
I was going to say she's been in a nurse in things we've covered.
She's been in like almost every sitcom ever for an episode or so. You're like, it's crazy. I was going through her whole IMDb, just like, oh my God. Like, just the amount of shows was insane.
Wasn't she the nurse and the sperm doctor? At the sperm bank in Big Bang Theory?
I know she was in Big Bang Theory. So it might have been.
That's crazy, too. When you look her up and you look up how many episodes of Fresh Prince she's in, it's so few.
It was like 15?
Yeah, 15 over the course of, like, you know, 200 episodes. But she's burnt in your brain forever as Vi, Will's mom.
Which is, like, a credit to any character that has, like, that kind of a lasting impression when you have, like, a smaller role.
Too bad. It's really hard to like Will Smith these days. What a bummer.
Yeah. That's a story for another day if, you know, we cover Fresh Prince. When he's explaining, like, oh, I have all these socks for her, she's like, socks? And he's like, yeah. And then, again, kind of always half salesman at all times, right? So he's explaining, like, all the positives to them. And she's like, well, do you want me to just give them to her next time she's here? It's like, actually, like, I'd like to give them myself. You think I can have her address? And I was thinking, like, that's a bit much.
It's a ballsy ask.
Okay, now, yeah. I was going to ask you, do you think this is sweet or borderline stalkerish?
A little much.
Stalker.
Yeah, a little combo here. It's, you don't ask somebody for their
He's
address.
He's sweet throughout this episode, address. But a lot of his actions are crossing lines.
He could easily come back another day. Like, he'd come back to the hospital a different day.
Could you tell me what day she's working?
Exactly. Oh, yeah, like, do you know, like, her next shift? Yeah, that's an okay thing to do. Paying this girl, as we find off, she eventually gives the address through payment. So
he tries to pay her in socks.
Yeah, he tries to bribe with the socks. He says, you're gonna have to give me money
again, though, too specific. If someone was like, I'll pay you in socks, and they were socks I really liked, I'd be like, ooh, maybe. Like, they're compression socks, though. But like, well, those aren't everyday socks. That's not like a deal for me.
Yeah, but the $100 can buy a lot of compression socks.
That's true.
This guy's showing stalkerish behavior. You do not give the address of the person up in that
your
situation.
Friend and coworker.
Well, they address it later when she's like, he has half the money. I glad you're alive.
If he, like, you know, he's a sweet guy, but what if he wasn't a sweet guy and she's just meeting him and he's asking for her address 5 seconds into the meeting? So, like, that is a super, super risky move.
If one of you guys died because I gave somebody your address for $100, I feel pretty bad about that $100. $500? We're not that good of friends.
I don't know, one pair of socks?
Gordo gets sold on one pair of compression socks that don't fit him.
He's just wearing it like a sleeping bag.
Use it as a condom.
So he gets the address, and he goes right to her apartment. If you noticed, 316? That was the door, right?
Oh,
I didn't notice.
I missed that.
So get to the door. First,
do you think
like,
she takes a better stunner than Vince McMahon?
It's impossible not to. When the door knocks, you have like the uncle first opens the door, you know, leaves the chain on, opens the door. And, you know, obviously there's this stranger at the door saying like, hey, I'm looking for Abishola. And, you know, he's like, oh, I'm sorry. She's asleep. She, you know, she was working really late. What do you want? Is she in trouble? And he's like, no, no. Like, he closes the door. And like, I like when he's sidebarring with the aunt. He's like, they don't know what's going on. They're just like, something has to be wrong. There's a white man at the door. Like, when has that ever been good?
That's a very funny line.
You get very little of this uncle, and he became my favorite character in that short amount of time. Like,
this actor, too, is in a million things, and he's amazing. He's Castillo in the Miami Vice movie.
Ooh.
Now, if I remember, the uncle and aunt they're actually American-born, right?
In real life?
I believe they are.
I believe he's American-born and she's English, maybe.
Okay.
Also, they do a deceptive thing here, too, where he's talking to her and she sticks her head under his.
I love that.
And it's very funny, but you're to assume she's like 4 feet tall, which I thought was like a funny gag. And then I cut back to them talking and you're like, oh, she's not. And that is even funnier because you're like, how did she do that? Such a weird angle she would have had to be at to put her head that low. Yeah, like there was like two like grips holding her upside down.
They get Abishola's son next, and now he's gonna go and open the door. And again, it's just kind of, they have a brief interaction. He's like, hey, I'm here with these socks. And then boom, shuts the door. Again, they're all kind of having this, they don't know how to address this. Like, I don't know why they seem very nervous by his presence. Like maybe more so than what he's giving. I understand.
It's weird.
It is weird for sure.
I mean, imagine now I live in an apartment building that has an outside and an inside door. If someone was just knocking on my actual apartment door and was like, hey, I have socks, I'd be like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
You'd be like, what kind of fish is printed on them?
Yeah. Do they come in hedgehog print?
Are there nuts on the back of them, or do I have to sew my own nuts on the back of them? Did I tell you guys the dumb thing I did apartment building recently?
No.
No.
So I was, my wife's birthday over the summer, and I was trying to buy her just like a bunch of dumb little gifts, and one of our favorite jokes is in Goodfellas when the like mistress is in the apartment and the wife comes. She's like trying to get there and she's hitting all the buttons so somebody will let her in. And she's like, there's a whore living in your building. She lives in 2R. I, as a joke, got like a 2R plate made for an apartment door. And it was supposed to be like this big. And like this is taking forever. And it's like a giant fucking package in the mail. I don't know whose door this thing is for, but it's like this fucking big. I was like, this joke is now fucking so weird. And now we just have like the world's largest 2R bookmark.
I also found it funny when the family sidebarring, when the aunt assumes it's because the uncle steals ketchup packets from Wendy's. Like, this is
that a cop would be there for that?
Yeah, like he's here to investigate all the missing ketchup.
I would watch a show about ketchup cops, though. Condiment cops?
I mean, he is a cop in Mike and Molly.
That's true. This is the, you know, continuation of that, right?
It is not.
Sock cops?
In Mike and Molly, he plays Mike. And in Bob Hart's Abishola, he plays
Abishola.
Yeah, he plays Abishola.
He plays Abishola.
I met this nurse named Bob, and I really like her. I didn't expect that.
So while they're all having the sidebar, Abishola actually wakes up and asks what's going on. And they say, hey, there's a big white guy out there with a bag of socks. She finally opens the door, and he's like, hey, remember me? She's like, yeah, P-Shy Bob.
Low-key, one of the funniest lines in this episode is the aunt being like, what did you do for those socks? Implying that she had a sexual favor for a paper bag full of socks.
Compression socks, yeah.
Compression socks at that.
He goes to give her the socks, and I don't know, he's trying to sell them. He's like, hey, check it out. Like, don't be afraid. Like, pull the band. Like, he is such a nerd about these socks. Like, he is legitimately very proud of them.
It works, though. She's impressed.
Yes.
That's true. She was a big fan of the socks.
Well, one thing we have learned throughout this episode, right, from all the description and then when actually being worn by people is
Bob
does
Abishola.
Make a quality sock. Nope, not that he hearts Abishola, but that he does make a quality sock that
What if he just has like a weird compression sock fetish though? He's like, here's the whole thing. I want to see you naked, but I want your ankles to look like they're really, really tight and make it look like your calves are really, really big. It really gets me off.
I really don't think that's what's going on.
Step Bob, my socks are stuck in the dryer.
The dryer's compressed.
Well, the way to go with that is like there's always one missing sock. Let me see if I could find it.
And then she bobs up and down.
Bob, what are you doing?
I was trying to hold it back because I don't like to laugh at those jokes. You had to throw the Bob joke and the what are you doing joke.
So the conversation just kind of ends with like after he hands her the socks, he's trying to make small talk now, and it's like, so today's like your day off, huh? And she's like, yep, bye. Just shuts the door on his face, and that's like how it legitimately ends between the two of them, which I thought was really funny.
Bothering somebody on their day off is not a good move.
Borrowing a nurse that stayed up all night on like a 12-hour shift.
Yeah, she tells you she works 12-hour shifts, often back to back.
I like when the family asks, like, why did he bring you socks? And she just goes, he likes how I say Bob. Good night.
Again, though, it is, like, why she's so likable, because she's so straightforward.
Yes.
Like, that's not a joke for her. She's being serious.
She is under the impression that is exactly why she's receiving these socks.
She's just really cute. Like, everything the family does, it's adorable, and it's wholesome, and I'm like...
It's kind of this whole show, right?
It is, like, it's very innocent, and I think...
I would watch a spinoff of just the family.
Me too.
Yeah.
You know, just to briefly get into it, I mean... Chuck Lorre basically just said, like, this whole show was created as a device where, like, at the time when the show came out, he felt that there was just a lot more, like, public racism going on, and he really just wanted a very innocent show that was, like, displaying an interracial couple. And I think that it was, like, it was done pretty tastefully with the show and how they go about it. And you go through the, like, obviously super cultural differences between the two and how, like, they're not two people you would typically see with one another.
Yeah.
But I thought they tied it in pretty well.
You know, my issue with the two of them, because, you know, eventually they're going to get together. It's the same issue with his siblings looking like his kids. She looks so much younger than him, and he just looks like an old man.
I feel bad because it's just, honestly, when you look at everyone's ages, and this goes with all the other people throughout the, he just looks a little old, and it doesn't help. I mean, like, he in the future, like, you know, if you look at him now,
that's a ton of weight. Yeah.
Yeah. He looks totally different now.
He lost so much weight, but it happens with a lot of like larger guys when they lose a significant amount of weight. Like sometimes it'll age you a little bit. So
John Goodman.
And I mean, again, you're talking about a guy who's in his 50s. So it's not like he's 30 to begin with, but he definitely looks a bit older, you know, at that much slimmer weight. He looks great. He's kept it off, and he looks very healthy, but...
Yeah, I mean, good for him. He's healthy, and he's happy. Then, you know, onwards and upwards.
So now it's the next morning, and Abishola's walking into the kitchen, and her son's, like, already in there. And the first thing she says as she's walking into the room is, Bob was right. These are wonderful socks. And the son, what's his name? Deli?
Yeah, what is his son? What is the son's name?
It's spelled D-E-L-E, so I'm going to guess Deli.
And he made her breakfast. He wants to ask his mom a question. He said he was invited to join the track team at school because the coach feels that he's like an exceptionally fast runner. And she's like, well, running fast isn't going to help you become a doctor. But he's like, yeah, but it'll be fun. And she goes, oh, you want fun? Study hard, get good grades, become a doctor, and take care of me. That'll be fun. I felt kind of bad for the kid in this moment.
He just wants to run also, too. Like, in these shows, it's usually like, I want to play football, and it's like, no, you'll get hurt, you'll do whatever.
Yeah.
Like, this kid just wants to run, like the easiest non-contact sport there is.
I think that this is part of the kind of establishing some of the cultural differences too, though, because we've seen that with a lot of just a lot of non-American households. There's like a really tight standard with a lot of families for their kids to really succeed, where our families just gave up on us.
I was just going to say, do you want to talk about how our families were like, guys, go and do a podcast when you get in your mid-30s?
But I think that a lot of that is like when you come you know, a lot of these like parents and grandparents who came to this country in like this tighter time frame, it was like with very specific goals in mind. And there's a whole reason you're starting, and it's all for the betterment of like, you know, your children's lives and stuff. So you went through this giant sacrifice and you left your family and everything you knew just for their upbringing. So you're not going to let that go to shit because they don't want to focus on their academics and stuff. So I kind of get it, but not at the risk of them not being able to join the track team. You know what I mean? That's the way where it's not like he's like, hey, I'm trying to join a band after school. I'm going to have to stop doing some extracurriculars that are going to help my advancement in life.
Apparently she has not seen Forrest Gump because Forrest Gump is a running fool. What happens to him? He gets a college scholarship.
That's what I was thinking. I said, why wouldn't you want this kid to get a maybe a free ride to a medical school? Like you can,
oh, even if you don't, even if you don't get the free ride, it at least looks good on your transcript.
Yeah,
that you did extracurricular
right, you're doing
activities.
Other stuff. Yeah, because they always want academics plus extracurriculars and stuff.
Kind of felt like this was like this could have been a storyline like in another episode where she forbids them and then realizes later that there could be opportunities, you know, like
Jay, that the episode's 19 minutes long, they needed filler.
Yeah that's the thing, like again with the 19 minutes, I'm like, did they not what was the original cut? Did they cut out a lot? Like what happened? Did he write the original script and go, oh shit, this is only 15 minutes long? Oops, I'm usually a lot better at this.
Yeah, they say like literally like the sitcom guru, like, oh, I may have fucked this one up.
There had to have been like a whole subplot that got cut or something. I don't know.
Like the scene they cut was extra long and just left 19 left.
So the uncle and aunt enter, and when the uncle sits down, or right before he sits down, Abishola notices that he's wearing one of the pairs of socks. And he's like, yeah, they're very comfortable, but I don't know why they call them flesh tone, which I thought was funny because
that's a great joke.
He is very African, and this is for a very white man flesh tone. Yep. I thought that was a really funny joke to end that scene on.
We've definitely seen that go away a lot more now. Like, if, I don't know how often you guys have to buy Band-Aids. I cut myself a lot doing dumb shit, so I buy Band-Aids all the time. And now they have like packs of Band-Aids that are like in every or like a lot of different flesh tone colors. And usually I just buy Snoopy, so it doesn't matter.
I needed some Band-Aids months ago, and I went over to the CVS, and like, I don't know if it's because they had a surplus or what, but for whatever reason, the black guy Band-Aids were cheaper. They were like on sale, and I'm like, I don't care. Band-Aids are Band-Aids for me. I'm not trying to hide that I have a cut. So whatever. So I just bought those.
I agree with you. I thought that was a weird thing, that the idea of flesh tone would be that nobody would know you had a Band-Aid on. Like,
yeah, it's
you can still tell you're wearing a Band-Aid. Who cares what color the Band-Aid is?
Like, I'm sorry that the Band-Aid around my finger is brown. Like,
it's right? like what does that matter?
Like, oh no, I've blown my cover. Now everyone's going to know I have a cut.
Oh, this guy fucking cut his finger. What an idiot.
Meanwhile, kids get all the cool ones. Like, I'd rather just have cool Band-Aids again. Like, this is just like, as an adult, I should have all those same options.
It's the same thing. You can buy kit. You can buy kid ones.
I literally just said, I always buy Snoopy or Batman every time I go. They make them in the same size as adult Band-Aids.
No, they can be a little smaller.
No, they're
sometimes.
The same size.
Yeah.
You can get the same
unless
size.
Unless you buy the smaller ones.
Yeah.
I'll investigate next time I'm at Target. If it's not locked up like everything else.
No, it's going to be locked up, though.
I buy my Band-Aids on Amazon. I get like 100 pack of them in every size.
Also, like with the Target thing, like, is it regional or is it everywhere? But like all the Targets all of a sudden all around us are all locked up. Joe, what about in your area? Is everything locked up at Target?
No, not Band-Aids, but like a lot of stuff is, but not Band-Aids. A lot of stuff like in the medical.
No, they just have a moose with a gun there.
Dudley Do-Right is making sure that nobody steals Tide, but no, and like detergent and stuff, not.
Yeah, it's wild. Like, Target is half glass cases now. They've gone over.
I will say this, though, Target and other places. I love the idea of being like, we're trying to deter theft. So what we're going to do is make everything behind glass cases and then make it so that there's nobody there to check out. Everything is self-registered. Like, the Target near us, they eliminated almost every single register a real person's at. Nothing is really behind glass. Like, I could ring up anything. And just walk out. It's insane. Like, how have you not figured this out yet? That's more of a shrink issue to me.
Yeah.
Today, I was actually at Target earlier, like when I got out of work, and I just bought a couple things, went through the self-checkout, and there was just definitely like the dude who worked there who is trying to low-key not show you that he doesn't trust you. So like, as I'm scanning, I just see him do the walk by and look, and it's like, Come on, guy. I bought two things and they're in the bag. Like,
you know who should be locked up? The people who make the carriages for Target. Because those carriages are the worst thing I've ever... Like, sometimes I'll just go in knowing I'm going to have to carry something heavy out. Dog food or something like that. Because I cannot push those things around. They're the worst carriages ever made.
You know why they get like that? Is because people take them past the point and then drag them to their car.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
they have the automatic stop thing. And it knocks the wheels off their track.
Why is stealing shopping carts such a epidemic that they needed to invest in?
Obviously, this is a tangent longer than I expected. But when I was younger, I used to push carriages at a supermarket. And they had those automatic locks, and I had to walk around with, like, the thing to unlock them. And what happens is, depending on your area, like, where that supermarket was, there's just a lot of residential people who don't, like, have a car and would walk to and from the supermarket, and they'd buy a full cart of groceries, and they would walk the cart home to bring them in. And the millions of times I would see someone walk, that supermarket had a particularly long parking lot. And watch them walk all the way down just to see the... I've seen people go ass over because it happens so abruptly. And it's amazing Jesus. Every single time.
Good. They deserve it.
Of course. You're trying to steal a carriage one way or another. Regardless of what your situation is, like, you still... That doesn't make it okay for you to steal the carriage.
I mean, they can't be cheap. I know you're buying thousands and thousands of them, but they're heavy, they're big, and you have to ship them to every store. It's...
You have like, did you have like some kind of like carriage GPS that like you followed to find them?
No. So, I mean, we'd have the locking mechanism. And I remember there would be a point where like someone might call and be like, hey, I saw one here and it'd be a few streets away. And they'd be like, hey, would
carriage
you mind
narc.
Like walking and grabbing it? And you go, okay. And so I did that a couple times. And just to conclude cart talk. We get Abishola's getting on the bus and she sits next to her friend. She gives her friend a pair of the socks. So,
and her friend Cammy here, she's one of the creators of the show.
Oh, is she? I honestly I had no idea.
She's a comedian and one of the writer's creators.
But she's a generous girl. Why she get bent out of shape about the uncle stealing a pair?
Well, you didn't ask. You know, like she would have gladly gave him, you know, just ask.
Right, sometimes it is just about asking, not taking, you know.
She seems to really like the socks because she's like giving the sale too. She's talking about like, oh, it has latex on the top, so you know it doesn't drop. Like she's like, you know, she listens to that sales pitch.
Man, a good pair of socks is a good pair of socks.
And then she's telling her friend how she got them from, you know, one of her cardiac patients and how he brought it to her house. And the friend's like right away, like, ooh, he must like you. Like, you know, you're ready for another husband and one with a weak heart, even better.
I thought that was funny.
And then she's like, well, what does he do? He's like, oh, he makes socks. Oh, he sews like a woman?
That was a line I wasn't expecting.
She's like, no, it's his business. And then she's like, so a businessman is trying to court you? Like, he's like, no, he's not trying to court me. You know, she's trying to tell him, like, again, the friend's like, you know, this guy likes you. And she had reservations. She said, like, this is a white man. She's like, hey, a woman your age can't be picky.
I guess historically,
Abishola, I think, did not venture outside of people from her area.
Is she near 50 as well?
I'm guessing near. Maybe not exactly, but...
She seems much younger. I'm with Ferg on this.
I know I keep hanging on the age thing, but it's just... It's poor Bob. I hate to keep picking on him. He just looks so much older.
So it's... No, actually, she's... as of today, she's still 40.
Okay, so Fergie's right then. She's in her 30s.
So she's in her mid-30s when this comes out, and he is, like, legitimately, like, about 50 when the episode comes out. Like maybe.
And on the show, the character is 50. They say it when they're bringing him in.
He's a little shy of 50 in real life when that comes out, but 48, 49-ish. So, yeah, he's got, in real life, probably a good 15 or so years on her.
What an unlikely love story.
I will say this, though. There is, we've talked about it before, probably, but, like, there is the divide where, like, if you're 50 and the significant other is 35, like, it makes way more sense than being 35 and your significant other being 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't imagine having a conversation with somebody 15 years younger than me in a way that I was like, I'm trying to date you. I just would have, it would never, I can't even fathom it. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think a little bit of that is, like, you're still maturing up until a certain point, right? But there is a point where you just kind of where you're going to be. And actually, there is a point where you start to go the other way, and like the maturity actually gets worse as you get older and older. So, you know, the difference between someone in their like mid-30s to 50, like you're kind of hanging around the same level of like where you are in life for the most part, like mentally.
I feel like if you're like, I'm meeting a new girl, she's 23. Like, what does she like to do? Like, go to bars to last call. Be like, oh, no, that's long gone. You can't do that shit ever again.
So now we flash a little bit later and Abishola's at work. And this is when you explained earlier, like she gets that $50 from the other nurse who that was like her cut of the sorry, I sold you out money.
I mean, I appreciate if you're going to sell somebody out, at least split the money, though, right?
That was, I thought, very admirable of her, despite potentially putting her in serious harm's way.
Yeah, she put her, she knows she put her in danger. She even says, like, I'm happy you're not dead.
Yeah. Hey, $50 is $50. So the phone rings, Abishola's phone. And, you know, just from the one-way conversation, we find out that her son's in trouble. He did something. He got into a fight at school.
Like, this right here felt like, to me very much like a part of a sitcom written by somebody who used to write for Roseanne. How many episodes of Roseanne have a scene where, hello, I gotta leave work. I gotta leave Rod Bell's. DJ's in the principal's office. Like, that's such a...
I think that happened in the pilot.
I think it did.
She had to leave.
She had to go
Your
to
daughter
the
barks. We all bark. Like, it's in so many episodes of Roseanne. And Roseanne is one of the greatest sitcoms of all time.
When Abishola is saying, are you sure there's not another Dele Babatunde Adebambo in the school? And, like, honestly is asking because she doesn't think her son got in the fight.
I love that she's being genuine, and I love that you were genuinely trying to say it.
I said it, not as fast as I'd like to, but I said it.
You should try and say it three times as fast, Jay.
Then you'll summon him.
I couldn't say it one time slow. Like, you want me to say it three times fast? But no, and I mean, I like how they address some of the cultural stuff with, like, these light jokes, you know what I mean? Nothing too major. It's just kind of, because, like, even that one, like, that's one of those jokes where it's not written as... It's a joke, but it's not, you know, she's not delivering it like a joke. She's honestly saying it, but like the absurdity of it is what makes it funny.
I honestly do feel, though, like you mentioned earlier, there's like, you know, Chuck Lorre saw racism. He wanted to sort of go after that. This is a very interesting way to do it, where you're like, make people be lovable and make it be something that's on TV that people all everywhere will watch. You might make some people just be like, this is funny. I get it. You know what I mean? Like, it's a very interesting, disarming way to go about it, and I think that they do a very good job in the pilot of addressing it.
Yeah, he does do an excellent job, because it could easily go the other way with, like, say, for an example, we watched Big Bang Theory, which he tried to do the same thing, but I always compared it to, it's like, they're in a zoo, and it's like, oh, look at the nerds. It's like, yeah, it could have been this way with, like, foreign people, but he showed how, like, sweet they are, and it's, like, charming. Like, it wins you over.
Right, and you imagine there's probably some people, like, in other parts of the country or whatever, or any part of the country, watching it, who typically might be a little more inclined to racism, who maybe start swaying, right? Like, that's a good first step for those people, you know?
What I liked here, too, is in the next scene, we see Abishola's now in the principal's office with the mother of the other kid from the fight, and we find out that the other kid said some unfortunate words, as the principal said, to him. And in this case, we find out that he said something somewhat racist to him, but the other kid is also black, and it's addressed that way. And I thought it was a really kind of smart way to do that, too, because we're addressing racism in the episode. We're doing it with a different, like, another kid who's also black. So it's coming from a totally different perspective, and it just kind of makes you think of it in a different way.
It's like a cultural thing more than a color of the skin thing.
Because in this case, like, you have, like, one kid who's just born and raised in Detroit, versus, like, the kid who is actually from Africa who moved over here.
Yeah.
And you get the, like, stressing out white principal who's like, I have no idea how to handle the situation without
it's super uncomfortable, because how do you address it? Because what was it, Ferg, that the kid called the son?
The jungle something.
Jungle Book?
Yeah, the Jungle Book.
No, so, listen, it's kind of uncomfortable even to say, but,
no,
you know,
one wants to say it.
For the sake of the story, so, the kid calls Abishola's son Jungle Bitch, and they,
You had fury on that bitch.
Well,
Jungle bitch.
Well, that wasn't my intent. I apologize. But I liked how Abishola addressed it after, because she's the one, like, she looks at the other mother and she's like, so your son, who I assume is the same color as you, uses a racist word on my son? Like, how is that possible? Like, I kind of like the, she's like almost like genuinely asking, like, why would you do that? You know? And again, I just think it was a very smart way to tackle like a racist issue on this show.
You also get a different side of her too, because you find out that he threw a chair at the kid when he called him that.
Yes.
And her retort to that is like, call me a jungle bitch and see how fast I throw a chair at you. Right. And you're like, yeah. Oh shit.
Also very Roseanne.
And you know what? It's funny, because in a way, I kind of feel like by the person on the other side of the fight also being black, not that it makes the racism part okay, but it took a little bit of that heaviness and sting out of it too, where like I feel like if it was like a white kid who said it to him, like it would have felt a little too much for the first episode.
It would have been real heavy.
It would have felt a little too much in it, you know, they're tackling a heavy issue, but it doesn't have that like same weight to it that it could have had. So
that would have been when things just be like a very special episode of,
right? And we've
and you
said
can't
that,
do that on the pilot.
We said that with other pilots where it's like too much too early, and if it was cast differently, who is the other kid, it could have been. But this somehow made it work. As heavy of an issue as it was, it worked.
Yeah, it's obviously not a subject that is in the writer's room easy to get into. So I mean, I do think they did. I think they, you know, not to tip the cap here, but, or tip the hat here, but like they did a lot of things the right way. And I just feel like now that we've done so many episodes of shows, now we know how you could have done it the wrong way too.
Yeah.
And it's pretty easy to do it the wrong way and just like really fuck it up. And I just think they're like pretty far away from fucking it up. They just did a really good job with all of this, because it's a touchy subject. It's an interesting plot. Like, it could have gone wrong, and I think they did a pretty good job.
I think this is Chuck Lorre.
Yeah.
You to think be that, honest.
Do you think this is just, like, an experienced person making a show? Like,
yeah, someone's done it so long.
He's been doing it so long, and like we said earlier, it was kind of the ethos of the show. So as a sitcom veteran, as a writing veteran, he's been around the block a bunch of times, so he knows how to. I would think that he would know too much too soon, because he's done so many successful shows over the years.
You know what's crazy with all the shows he's done? No show is similar to it, like one another. Like Roseanne is like middle class, like low to middle class, like white trash family trying to get it to work. Big Bang Theory, they're a bunch of nerds.
Nothing feels like he's trying to recreate something he's already done.
He doesn't have a formula, is what I'm trying to say.
That other mother wants, if it was Deli?
I think we're going with Deli.
She wants him to get suspended for throwing the chair. And Abishola, again, it's weird, because I think in just like this literal logical way that her brain works is like, well, my son gets better grades, so he shouldn't be getting in trouble. Like it doesn't quite work that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's very like, you know, your son Calvin, like, what grades does he get? It's like, that's not important. She's like, well, one of these two boys is going to be a doctor, and I'll give you a clue. It's not your Calvin.
Burn.
It is funny, too, like you said, we mentioned a bunch, but she's so literal that when she says something like that, you know she very much means it.
I heard, like, the problem is Calvin keeps hanging out with his racist tiger all the time, so now he just says mean things.
He just started peeing on all the trucks in the parking lot for some reason.
Keeps peeing on all these sports signs.
Now we see Abishola and her son walking out of the school.
Is Calvin and Hobbes public domain?
No, it's not 100 years old.
Definitely not yet.
Okay, so I'm wondering, how did they get all the signs of him peeing?
Illegally.
They're bootleg.
Because those aren't legal, yeah.
None of that's legal.
Oh, so we couldn't do like an S1E1, he peeing on us, right?
I mean, we could.
We could.
Wait,
you said peeing
on us?
Like, yeah. Would you want
our logo?
Why would you want an anti-S1E1 merch? Like,
he's starting the S2E2 podcast, and he wants to get a head start on marketing.
Listen, there's got to be people that like us, people that don't like us, and then we can play both sides of the coin.
Right, so our new thing will be green light and pissed on. And if they get canceled, Galvin pees
well,
on
you, it. It could be like our individual cartoon characters. Like you could have them peeing on me.
Let's okay, let's take this into the next group meeting.
I do agree, though, if you make anti-merch and pro-merch, I would just say one of the funniest things ever is New Jack had his pictures signed by other wrestlers who were babyfaces that said, like, I hate New Jack with, like, a cross on him, and then they would sell them, and then they would split the money. Like, you split the pool, you gotta get both sides of the fence.
I think Limp Bizkit used to be the ones who made the Limp Bizkit suck shirts, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Smart.
I remember there was a guy during the 2016 election that was selling outside of a polling place Hillary pins, and then people walking by and that were clearly maybe not voting for her, and he went, oh, not your candidate, and literally flipped the board, and it was Trump pins. And he went, how about this? And I went, wow, dude, that's just smart. That's just smart. That could be us. We could have, like, an anti- and
get him coming, get him going.
Yeah. Just think.
Right, so anyways, Abishola and his son are walking out of the school, and during this, she's explaining to him, like, you know, he was suspended for 3 days. He's going to spend the entirety of that cleaning the house from top to bottom and getting all his homework done. And when he finishes all that, she's going to give him additional work. But also says to him, but I think you should join the track team. He's like, really? Like, yeah, because one day you're going to throw a chair at the wrong person. You're going to need to be able to run for your life. And I thought that was just kind of a weird resolve to the track issue. Her just
that's
flipping
gotta be what was cut. There has to have been a subplot of her like being like, oh, he's been aggressive. He needs something to get it out. Or her coworker is telling her that she should let the kid play sports or something like that. But
because it was never addressed again, there had to have been like some other conversation that happened.
Only we had the other 2 minutes.
Well, it was like kid wants to be on the track team. You say no. He needs to focus on his academics. Then he gets in trouble and he's rewarded with the opportunity to be on the track team. Like it's missing something there for sure.
The other kid should have been the track star and she wants him to be able to run and take his glory.
So now we cut to later on and we see Abishola at work again and they're trying to revive a patient. Again, a little heavy here.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Usually you don't see somebody die on a pilot episode of a sitcom. It's a
you
little
do on
much.
Scrubs.
That's true. Yeah, they're trying to revive this guy. You know, they got the defibrillator on him, all this stuff. And doctor's very quick to call it. And he's like, that's enough. He's like, time of death, 5:47. Throws his gloves on the floor and leaves the room. And you go, what the? Okay.
Also, this doctor looked so much like Stephen King that I was, like, confused for a second. Did they get a Stephen King cameo?
Joe, I thought you were going to use this line to start the episode.
I did, too.
After the doctor leaves, they're like, wow, look at him, a fountain of compassion. And then the other nurse goes, they say he's on the spectrum, but I think he's just a dick.
Peeling it back, this was one of my options, but everybody jumped in this week, and I wasn't able to do an opening line.
I was going to say, did he even do one?
Oh, you didn't even open with anything. I didn't.
I always do an opening and a closing, but everybody dove in on my spot today, and I just let it ride. Maybe the fans already have noticed that. Now
yeah,
that
I think it was just Gordo.
Yeah, I said, yo, and then that was the last I said.
Yeah, I usually, you know, do the spell and go, what's going on, guys? Then it's usually pretty much free reign.
I think you forgot to do one, and you're throwing the blame on all of us.
That is not true. You can tell by my notes. I have all of the ones I might do written down the side of my notes, and I can show you every episode we've ever done. Same thing. Not gas mom, I'm having a heart attack. Would you mind showing me your socks? All we do is turn a blind eye. I've got a lot of them.
In any event, we cut to the hallway, and now Abishola's like that area where all the desks are and stuff, and Abishola's getting on the phone with the wife of the patient that just died. And she's, you know, has to deliver the bad news. And while she's like, oh, hello, is this Mrs. Liebman? You know, this is Abishola from the hospital. And I'm really sorry to inform you that. And as she's going through this, Bob shows up and he's just like, hey, who needs leg hugs? And like has like all these socks.
Killed
me. He says, whose leg needs a hug? Which is a fucking weird thing to say.
I feel so bad because he pops up so happy.
He's so happy. No. He hasn't seen her. He's been trying to see her again.
He comes in with so much glee.
I was so worried she was going to snap at him.
Well, he's not picking up on any cues that she's on the phone. First off, like, at least let her finish the phone call, but he keeps talking. Like, look, I got you more socks, like the spring colors and all this stuff. And then she's just like trying to shush him and like finish this call. And finally, like, yes, your husband passed away at 5:47 this evening. Come whenever you're able. My condolences to you and your family. Then hangs up and he's like, ooh, guy died, huh?
I mean, to be fair, that one's legs probably needed a hug.
Yeah. And he goes to leave and she like stops him, goes, leave the socks.
His smile as he pretends to be sad and then smile again as he leaves is one of the most charming parts of the episode.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Yeah.
It cuts to like the end of her shift and we see Bob just outside at the bus stop.
Creepy.
Again, this is border. This is stalkerish.
This is borderline, but I feel like this is kind of sweet because of the way he handles it, because the way he like pays for the people on the bus and doesn't really know what he's doing. He seems out of his depth, not that he's trying to like big dick her.
Sounds like you can easily be susceptible to gaslighting.
I did meet my wife on a bus after she put $20 into the tab.
He just, I don't know, the whole waiting outside for her shift to end and then following her on the bus, not even knowing where it's going. This is, I don't know. He's such a nice guy. Like, we know that he's a nice guy. But when you look at the situation, he's doing a lot of real stalkerish behavior. And if anyone else was cast in the role, this whole episode could have, it was really a perfect storm for these things to work, because this could have came off really, really bad.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like if we didn't already watch Mike and Molly, like I'm already like projecting this sweet fat guy onto him.
Yeah. I wonder if it would have came off creepier if he didn't, like, he ends up losing all that weight. You think it would have come off like weird if he was skinny in this episode?
Skinny, or if instead of a mustache, he had a goatee.
Weirder, I think. Yeah. Just, I don't know. Like, the fat implies, like, a little bit jolly, right?
Innocence.
Like, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there's never been a fat stalker before.
Yeah, never.
Yeah, to be fair, like, I'm pretty sure Ed Kemper fits the same description.
Ed Kemper literally cut his mother's head off and had sex with her head, and he was a very large man. I love that Ed Kemper's where you went. Oh, hey, Abishola's head. Like, oh my god, this show's so...
Bob Hart, Abishola's head.
Oh my god.
That's like a sitcom that would be on Stay Tuned.
Created by Chuck Lorre and Ed Kemper.
I know anytime I've been just looking at someone through their window, when they come out or try to address me, I go, it's okay, I'm fat. Usually that blows right off after that.
What you have to do is talk to them like you're Hugh Grant. It's very disarming.
Like Mickey Blue Eyes? Hugh Grant?
Hey, forget about it. Like, Jay, I thought you were Italian. Why are you British Italian all of a sudden?
Britalian.
Encyclopedia Britalian.
Anyways, Abishola gets out of work, sees Bob just standing outside at the bus stop, and he's like, oh, what? Guy can't take a bus? And, you know, she's like, well, can't stop him. Like, do whatever you want. And then he's like, come on, you can't tell me you didn't feel something special when you sang to me on the toilet. It's like, I know, like, there was that joke in the line, but I'm like, like, now you're going, like, you didn't feel feelings. Like, there wasn't enough there.
He jumps into being very direct after beating around the bush for a while, and yeah. It's out of nowhere.
Well, I mean, how long can the courting process be?
It's been like a day.
Longer like, than this is the answer. He finds out just now where she's from. That's meaning that the courting process has not been long enough so far.
I like when he gets on the bus and he's like, oh, nice, the roomie. Like, I thought there'd be more weirdos. And she's like, you are the weirdo.
That's not true. I've taken 1,000 buses and I would happily have a Bob or an Abishola near me compared to some of the people I've sat next to.
Her friend gets on the bus, the one that she rode up with. I don't know if it was the same day or the day before or whatever. It must have been the day before because she gives her some of those socks. And when she finds out, like, oh, who's this? And Abishola, like, holds up the pair of socks to be like, oh, this is the sock guy? Like, hey. Like, she was like, all right. Like, I see what you're doing.
He's wearing my socks.
Yeah. And then when she sits down, he notices the socks on her, and he gets very excited. And that was the conclusion of the episode, was just him noticing that the friend had his socks on.
I thought some got, with the length and then it ending there, I thought something got cut off.
Me too.
I thought it was going to be Bob at the very end of the bus stop, like the guy being like, that's the last bus of the night, and him like trying to get an Uber home or something. Like, I thought they'd do like a little thing where he's super far away, but...
I thought this was going to have at least like one of those little post scenes or something afterwards, because we were so low on time, but it just kind of ended. That was it.
That would have been a cool tie-in if he was in a cab on the way home and it was the cab driver. Is it Ranjit from How I Met Your Mother? And he was like, she's wearing my socks. Like, that would have been a nice little like sitcom fun tie-in.
Again, that was the conclusion of the episode. I don't really have... I thought where the show was fairly popular, like, it's still running. It's in its final season right now.
Final season.
I thought it would have, like, a lot more, like, information and facts around it, but there really wasn't too much I saw when I was trying to read up on it.
Yeah, I usually have pretty extensive sort of notes to pull up for stuff, but yeah, just not a lot. I mean, we touched on everything pretty much.
Yeah, creator, why he created it, and he's got a big back catalog. And
yeah, who's in it, what it's about.
There's a lot of tie-ins. A lot of the people that were on the show like have worked with him in the past and stuff in limited capacity. But that's about it. So, I mean, unless anyone has anything to add, we might as well get right into that green light or cancel.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. So I'll go in the order I see you guys in. Joe, starting with you.
I was sad originally to do this show because for some reason we chose this as like the show we always used as a joke. I think mainly because of the title. Anything with such a different, weird title is easy to kind of constantly use. And I guess we really can't use that joke anymore. But I did find this show delightful. I surprised myself. Sometimes it happens. You watch a show and you're like, I really enjoy this. I will actually watch all of this. I didn't think going into this, I'd want to watch more than one episode of this show. But I think it's very well written. Not surprisingly, when you find out who's behind it. Well acted. It's sweet. It's funny. And I really appreciate the sort of idea behind everything. I genuinely laughed out loud. I laughed out loud a lot at a show that starts with a fart joke. That gives a lot of credence to me thinking a show is funny or worthwhile. I'm surprised I like it, but I really did. It's a green light.
Fart.
Yeah, I just want to point out that this isn't the first time you've laughed at a fart joke. It's happening more and more. I think you're converting.
I don't think that's going to happen.
It's happening.
He's converting to pootyism.
Anyway, I owe both Bob and Abishola an apology because it has been a long going joke of us mocking this show, as Joe said. You know, this show warmed my black heart. Like, I was so into it. And I watched it before. I didn't enjoy it that much. Maybe it's from doing this show and seeing so many sitcoms. But we discussed it in the episode. This show does basically everything right. And it's sweet. Bob's funny. Their relationship is funny. Not relationship, because they're not together yet, but they're just, their whole courting process is funny. And just everything. Green light from me.
Nick.
Yeah, I can't say too much that wouldn't be repeating what Joe and Ferg have already said. They really do everything right. It's just a really good, it's a feel-good show. And like, I really want to keep watching. Like, I can't wait to go watch the second episode of the show and just kind of binge it. And like, this is going to be a really good, like, nighttime show, I think, to just, like, plow through. Great cast, great writing. Obviously, we talked ad nauseum almost about Chuck Lorre, but he knows what he's doing. And it shows in a show like this. Yeah, green light. It's a pretty easy green light, maybe one of the easier ones.
Gordo.
Yeah, I'm not going to rock the boat here. Gordo hearts, Bob hearts, Abishola. Yeah, I mean, the chemistry between all of these actors are on point. The writing's on point. It's sweet. It's feel good. And, you know, we made jokes about it. And, you know, now we did it. And lo and behold, it's a good show. It is probably, I'm going to guess, going to get the green light from us. So, you know, green light from Gordo.
Well, I'll say mathematically, regardless of my vote, you don't have to guess. You were four already. So yes, it was a green light. Yeah, listen, this was a joke for a really long time. This was something that I'd seen in the background, maybe, like, my mom watches the show. Like, I've seen her watch it, but I never paid attention. I don't know how the show goes from this moment forward, but as far as I'm concerned with this pilot, it was a great episode. I don't want to just repeat everything you guys said. It was just very enjoyable, very simple, wholesome show. I do want to apologize to Gordo because earlier on we mentioned that there was a fart joke, but like there was an audible fart in a scene, and I don't feel like we properly gave Gordo the opportunity to express how much he enjoyed that. So my apologies on that behalf. But congratulations to Bob Hart Abishola. 5 out of 5. Shocked. Honestly shocked. And you know
surprised.
What? That listen. Well, the point of our show.
Cavemen got like 4 out of 5, right?
3. I think like 3. It got 3.
Oh, but it did. Okay.
3, but then Nick later said he would have flipped it. But I think, you know, as far as our show goes, I mean, that's kind of the point, right? Like, we're watching a show and actually giving it a chance. And I think the more we've done this, like, I don't want to call myself an expert on this at this point, but we've done a lot of them.
I'm an expert.
So, and Ferg's an expert, and he's on the show. But, you know, having watched all these shows, I mean, like, we know what's good and what's bad about shows now. So even if the premise isn't necessarily something that would have hooked us originally, when you actually give a show a shot and watch it, and we know what we like and don't like about sitcoms pretty well at this point. It's pretty established the more we analyze them. And you see a show like this, and it just kind of hit. And it did everything right. And again, I don't know what the future of the show is like. It could be dog shit. It could be good the whole way across. But as far as I'm concerned, congratulations, Bob Hart Abishola. 5 out of 5. You live on to see another new episode. Thank you again to everyone who listened to us. Thank you for everyone who's been around since day one. Thank you to everyone who's just catching up with us now. 3 years of this show. It's been really awesome and fun to do this, and we plan on doing it for a while longer. So thank you. Catch us again next week when we have another episode for you. But until then, thank you. Goodbye.
I think we got the best Bob Hart Abishola's head.